Connecting the Pieces.
My name is Jay Johnson. The man sat in the crowded room of the factory, hunched over his workspace, making sure that he had soldered his circuit board correctly and that he hadn't missed anything. Because time was tight and he was forced to have a certain number of finished items per hour, he did the best that he could, but he had to hurry to make sure that his floor supervisor wouldn't single him out and yell at him in front of the rest of the group. At the end of the 8-hour day, the man was able to go home, although his home wasn't the home that you and I would probably think of. This man lived in a dormitory with up to 8 other people in the same room. At the end of the month, the man had worked a total of around 160 hours, and for that, his paycheck was a whopping $28. Now, if that sounds like a description of a worker in a third or even a fourth world country, you would be wrong. This man lives in America. According to recent stats from the federal government, the U.S. prison industrial complex holds 2.3 million prisoners. Which doesn't sound too bad, right? I mean, America is a country with nearly 316 million people. But looking at it in a different way, the Washington Post notes that America has the highest incarceration rate in the world. Approximately 700 people are in prison per 100,000 people. Which still doesn't sound too bad, right? I mean, it's not too high. But in comparison, the newspaper goes on to note that both Japan and Sweden have about 50 people in prison per 100,000 people, and India has just 30. In total, America, by itself, has nearly 25% of the entire world's prison population. And with those large numbers comes opportunity, as in, the opportunity to exploit a captive workforce for a profit. Federal Prison Industries, also known as Unicor and FPI, is a wholly owned United States government corporation that was created back in 1934. The Unicor.gov website notes that it specifically uses inmates in the Federal Bureau of Prisons to produce goods and services. Now, the original idea was twofold. The first is that prisoners should repay their debt to society, and the second is to give the inmates vocational training, so with that, when they leave prison, they're able to find gainful employment. Which sounds great, right? Someone made a mistake, he learns something while serving his time, and in doing so, he learns valuable life skills that will in turn help him to become a productive member of society. However, over time, that concept has morphed into something else completely. Wikipedia notes that under the current law, all physically able inmates who are not a security risk or have health exceptions are required, or forced, to work for Unicor or some other prison job. And in doing so, are paid from 23 cents an hour to a whole $1.15 per hour. Wikipedia also notes that Unicor has 109 factories that produce 175 different types of products and services that include clothing, textiles, electronics, industrial products, office furniture, and lots, lots more. But the interesting thing to note here is that according to U.S. laws and regulations, federal agencies, except the Department of Defense, are required to purchase the goods that are offered by Unicor. So what we have here is a dilemma. Although the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution outlaws slavery and involuntary servitude, it does allow for people to be punished if they have been convicted of a crime. Since prisoners are forced to work for mere pennies on the hour, and the federal government is forced to buy the products that the prisoners make, thus, it could be argued that the U.S. government sanctions neo-slavery. But it's not just the U.S. government that uses prisoners to produce things. A quick search on Google reveals that numerous Fortune 500 companies, often through subcontractors, employ prison laborers. According to the Left Business Observer, the federal prison industry produces 100% of all military helmets, war supplies, and other equipment. The workers supply 98% of the entire market for equipment assembly services, 93% of paints and paintbrushes, 92% of stove assembly, 46% of body armor, 36% of home appliances, 30% of headphones, microphones, speakers, and 21% of office furniture, airplane parts, medical supplies, and much more. Prisoners are even raising seeing eye dogs for blind people. And remember, the people that are making all of this stuff are getting paid as much as 16 cents an hour. So with this in mind, a recent article at money.cnn.com makes more sense. In that article, a small manufacturer in Alabama said that it had to lay off 225 workers when it lost a contract to Unicor, which, as you recall, is the government-run enterprise. To paraphrase Kurt Wilson, a spokesman for the company, he told CNN Money, "Our workers get full medical insurance, 401k plans, and paid vacation. Yet, we're competing against a federal program that doesn't pay any of that to its so-called employees. And see, that's the catch. Inmates that help to build roads, pick up trash, and improve the quality of life around them are giving back to the community. However, those very same criminals are now being forced to make goods for the private industry at below market cost as part of their punishment. Some have argued that the 13th Amendment is being exploited and has let corporations and their shareholders profit at the greater society's expense. Expanding upon this idea, small companies are unable to compete with the wage that government is paying its captive workforce, which in turn leads to layoffs, and in some cases, more people being convicted of crimes, thus propagating the negative spiral. So what do you think, dear listeners? Can small businesses compete with government-sanctioned neo-slavery?